And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
Alcohol doesn't console. It doesn't fill up anyone's psychological gaps. All it replaces is the lack of God. It doesn't comfort man. On the contrary, it encourages him in his folly. It transports him to the supreme regions where he's master of his own destiny. Now, these are not my words, nor are they the words of any other preacher. These are the words of the French writer Marguerite Duras. She made a very accurate and a very reasoned observation. Alcohol doesn't do any of the things that it promises or is expected to do, but it does bring with it a tremendous amount of heartache. We're going to look at some of that today as we explore God's truth for the world. We thank you for joining us today. It's always our privilege to study God's Word together with you. We hope that you look forward to it just as much as we do. We'd like to be able to meet with each one of you individually and to sit down and study God's Word, but that's simply not possible. But God has given us the wonderful medium of television to meet with each other, and the wonderful medium of radio that we might speak with each other and study together that way. And we're glad that you take advantage of these opportunities. We begin a brand new study this week, one that is a little different from what we've done in the past, but I think all will be able to see that it is clearly needed considering the state of the world in which we live. We've entitled this particular study, I Don't Drink. Now, the reason that I chose these three words, I don't drink, is because of something that I was taught when I was just a teenager. I don't remember who taught me, don't remember the man's name, I don't even remember where I was at the time. But there was a preacher who delivered a very excellent lesson on the evils of drinking and all of the various pitfalls associated with drinking alcohol. And he gave a piece of advice that I've always found very useful. He says, when someone offers you something to drink, and by that we mean, of course, alcoholic beverages to drink, he said, there's only one answer that a Christian can give. You say, I don't drink. He was trying to impress upon us the importance of being very clear and doing what God wants us to do and making sure that there's no misunderstanding. If a person offers you something to drink and you say, no thank you, or not now, or oh, I don't think so, or maybe later, you might think that that is a sign of politeness. But what you are doing is you're leaving open to that person the idea that although I don't want anything to drink now, I might at some point in the future. We need to be sure that we don't leave any impression with someone that is wrong. We simply say, I don't drink. Giving that answer has given me the opportunity to teach some people about what the Bible says regarding the drinking of alcohol, because usually they are very surprised by that answer. Now, most in the world today see that drunkenness is wrong. They see a person become intoxicated to the point that he can no longer speak or no longer stand up, and they see that that is wrong. But more than two-thirds of the world's population, two out of every three people, think that social drinking, and that's a term that we use that means I'll drink a little bit whenever I want to, but I'll never become drunk based on my drinking. Many believe that that is fine. In fact, you can engage in social drinking every day, they say, and never be drunk. Unfortunately, there are many who call themselves Christians who defend this very same practice. Now, often when we talk about alcohol, we're very concerned about our children, and we should be. I only have statistics for here in the United States, and the statistics are a couple of years old. But according to the U.S. government, in 1996, there were about 9 million drinkers under the age of 21. We're told that about 4.5 million of these are binge drinkers. That means that they may not drink every day, but when they drink, they will drink themselves to the point of passing out, to the point of being unconscious based on the amount of drinking that they have done. This is very dangerous. Just in the last few years here in America, we've heard of many college students and high school students engaged in binge drinking who have killed themselves. Not because they drank and were in a car accident, but they've killed themselves by taking in so much alcohol in such a short period of time that they've poisoned their body to the point of death. We should be concerned. We should be concerned about our children. We're told that about 1.9 million of these 9 million drinkers under the age of 21 here in America are classified as heavy drinkers. These are people who probably are already well on their way to alcoholism. We also notice that it seems to be extending to much younger children all the time. We're told that about 80% of 12th graders have admitted to having a drink in the past year, about 70% of 10th graders, and what surprised me was even as many as half, 50% of all 8th graders have admitted to having a drink in the past year. This tells us that children are beginning to drink much younger. They're beginning to damage themselves even at a time when they're still in a very formative state. This is even more dangerous if that's possible. But we need to be concerned about all drinkers, not just the children. The alcoholic beverage industry here in America shows that they have about $1.4 billion in sales in the year 1995. That's the last year that I had statistics for. $1.4 billion. That means that we're not, as Americans, having an occasional drink, but rather it's almost as though our nation is being flooded with alcohol. Now, I know from even my short travels overseas that many other countries have a very similar situation. Countries where the people are so poor that they can't really afford enough food to be completely healthy, they still seem to be able to get their hands on alcohol. Now, someone would say, God made alcohol. It's a natural product. Why can't we use it? Or why did God make something that is evil? Well, alcohol does have good uses. It can be used for sterilizing things. It can even, in some cases, be used as a fuel. It can be used as solvents in various chemical processes. And it can also be used as medicine. And I'd like to touch on that at length later on in this particular study. We need to understand, though, that although alcohol has some good uses, being consumed as a beverage is not one of them. Alcohol, by its very nature, is poisonous. When a person drinks alcohol, he is poisoning himself. We call it intoxication, and we can hear the word toxic in that. And we understand that that's a bad thing in almost every realm. But when it comes to alcohol, many times we simply turn our brains off. Now, what I'd like to do is go through a study. And if you are one who already drinks, maybe you don't become drunk. Maybe you simply have one or two drinks a day. You feel as though you have complete control over it, that it doesn't harm you, that it doesn't affect you in any negative way, and because of that, you intend to continue. Well, if that's the case, I'd like for you to pay special attention to our study, because what I'd like to do is I'd like to study it from the standpoint of what the Bible says about it. And I'd like to give you some very concrete reasons not to drink, not even to have what we call the social drink, or the occasional drink. Reason number one, we should not drink alcohol. A Christian cannot drink alcohol because it does harm your body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul said, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom we have from God, and you are not your own? This body has been given to us, but we are simply a steward of it. We should not damage it. We should not harm it. And when we drink alcohol, we do harm our body." We know this not only from science, but also from the Bible itself. In Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 29, we read, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look at the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper." These last phrases, referring to it as biting like a serpent and stinging like an adder, are important. We're told that there are two classes of snakes, one of which are known as serpents. This would include the coral snake. This snake bites its victim and chews the flesh in order to put the poison into the system. And the poison, as it enters the system, attacks the nervous system of the person. It's known as a neurotoxin, something that attacks the nervous system. But there's also a group known as the vipers. These would be like the rattlesnake. It is one who has fangs, and it stings when it bites. And it puts the fangs into the body and then injects through those fangs the poison into the system. This attacks the person's blood system. It's known as a hemotoxin. These two different classifications are referred to right there in the book of Proverbs. We find that alcohol is a poison that does both. It bites and it stings. It attacks both the nervous system and the blood system. Medical authorities can cite over 60 different diseases that are caused either directly or indirectly by alcohol. It affects our heart, our liver, it makes people have diabetes, and there are many other things separate and aside from, but certainly in addition to, addiction to alcohol. We need to understand that although there are some legitimate uses of alcohol, it is never a legitimate use as a beverage. That is, there's no way that I can possibly overstress that. We hear it many, many times. In fact, we're told that someone who is living here in America, by the time that he is 16 years old, there will be hundreds of thousands of ads that he will see and that he will hear in his lifetime encouraging him to drink alcohol. We recognize that while God has made it for a good purpose, man certainly has abused it. As we move on in our study, we will understand that God intends for us to be healthy and holy people here in this earth, and we cannot do that if we're involved in drinking. If you are saying that you drink because you use it as a medicine, well then let's apply the same standard to it that is applied to other medicines. That means that, just like any other drug, it should be used only under the direction and supervision of a competent physician, a doctor who prescribes it for you. There should be times that he checks up on you and sees whether or not you need continued treatment with that particular medicine. Well, we see that as being ridiculous, don't we? Because we all know that no one drinks because they need it as a medicine. Instead, we drink because we want it for our appetite's sake. Now, some often say that there are great benefits, great health benefits to drinking, but that's not the truth. They say that doing this improves your digestion. Medicine has proven that that's not true. They say that it improves your nerves. Medicine has proven that that's not true. All of these claims that have been made have been proven false through the years. Well, why are they continually made? Well, they're continually made because we've decided that we want to drink, and if we want to drink, we'll find an excuse. We need to understand that of the few benefits that might be gained from drinking an alcoholic beverage, for example, people usually refer to a glass of wine in the evening, you can receive the exact same benefits that would come from that by drinking the unfermented grape juice in the same quantity at the same intervals. So why have the wine rather than the grape juice? Well, it's because we want the alcohol. We want what it does to us. We want that numbing effect that allows us to escape from the rest of the world. That's the only reason for it. We need to understand how risky alcohol is. And even if there are a few very small benefits to the physical body from it, the risks far outweigh the benefits. We also need to understand that we cannot have alcohol, we cannot drink alcohol, and a Christian should not, because it destroys his influence. And we notice in the first case it's harmful to the body, but in the second case it's harmful to our influence. How many souls have you ever seen won to Christ by two men sitting down over a beer and talking about Christ? Well, of course it doesn't happen. It never happens, because we know that that's a completely inappropriate setting. The two simply do not go hand in hand. You never find someone sitting in a bar trying to teach another the gospel while the two of them are sitting down with a drink. It just doesn't happen, because we understand how ridiculous that scene is. We need to remember the admonition that Paul gave to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be thou an example to the believers." Now, notice six areas that he gave: in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, I'd like to take time to talk about all six of these, but we simply don't have that time available to us today. I would like to mention, too, though, we should be an example of the believers in conduct. Philippians 1 verse 27 says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, if I choose to drink alcohol, will that make my conduct more worthy of the gospel or less? Well, the answer is very clear, isn't it? It will make me less worthy. I remember my father telling me years ago that a man who drinks will do anything. And I didn't understand what that meant. He said, well, a man who is sober and doesn't drink, if he has certain moral standards, for example, if he believes it's wrong to steal, he won't steal from you. If he believes it's wrong to lie, he won't lie to you. He won't cheat you. He won't harm your family because he believes that those things are wrong and he won't do them. But a man who drinks can have the exact same standards, believe all of those same things are wrong, yet if he becomes drunk, he will do them because the drinking tears down those standards. It tears down those barriers against that immoral behavior. It tears down the barrier that stops him from doing what he himself would believe is wrong. We can't be an example of the believers in conduct and at the same time have our conduct dictated by and changed by the alcohol that we take into our bodies. Now, the second area that we'd like to notice, the second of those six things that was listed, is that we're supposed to be an example of the believers in purity. Notice, if you would, the words of James chapter 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Does that sound like the purity that comes from the bottom of a beer bottle? Or is that the purity that comes from abstaining, from keeping yourself away from something that will take over you and cause you to do what it wants you to do rather than what God has commanded? That's a very simple question, and if you answer it honestly, I know the answer that you've already given. When we talk about being pure before God, the picture that comes to our mind is not a bottle of whiskey. Rather, it is one who keeps himself away from those things. There's a reason for this. It goes back to the conduct that we talked about. We can all see the conduct of those who drink and what the drink does to and with them. Now, even if you do not become addicted and you don't suffer any kind of drastic physical disease, that doesn't mean that your drinking is not harmful. Because your drinking may very well encourage someone else to drink, and they may be so affected. We're told that on the average, one out of every 16 people who drinks will become an alcoholic. Now, I know that I will not become an alcoholic. I don't know if I'm one of those 16 people or not, but I do know that I will not drink. And since I won't ever drink the first one, I'll never become that alcoholic. So even if I were to drink, and it didn't affect me, I didn't get a disease, I didn't behave poorly, I never became drunken by it, if my drinking caused someone else to, how would I answer for such a thing? For we will answer in the last day for the influence that we have over others. In closing, let me give a third reason. Alcohol should not be consumed by a Christian. So Christians simply cannot take part in drinking because it makes for very poor stewardship. The things that we have in this life are not our own, but rather they are gifts that come from God. Now, we mentioned that the alcohol industry here in America brings in about $104 billion a year. That was in 1995. Now, that means that people spent $104 billion in that one year. Now, this is money that could have and probably should have gone to paying their rent or their mortgage, buying food or clothing for their children, taking care of the financial responsibilities that we have in this life. I wonder how many Christians, members of the Lord's church even, who have an opportunity and a responsibility to spread the gospel throughout the whole world, have misused the money that God has put in their charge and used it for alcohol rather than for evangelism. It makes us wonder. It's a very sobering thought in every sense of the word to think about the fact that God has put within our control the wonderful blessings that He has. We will answer for how we use them. will the answer be, well, Lord, you know, I never really got drunk, so all of that money that I spent on alcohol was okay? We need to understand, and we've looked at three different things today, that a Christian cannot participate in drinking of alcohol, even at a social level, because drinking alcohol does harm the body. It's been abundantly proven. Because it does destroy the influence of the Christian, of that there is certainly no doubt. And it is a gross misuse of the funds, the blessings, the money that God has provided for His people to use in His service here on this earth. Now, Lord willing, we're going to come back to this topic. I want to look at one more reason that we should not drink and answer some of the many arguments that are often made in favor of social drinking, and look at them in light of God's Word. In just a moment, I'll return.